In the world of entertainment, there are movies, and then there are movies. You know, the ones that touch a collective nerve or pluck at some universal heartstring. Movies like Shane.
Let me see you shoot, Shane.
What do you want me to shoot at?
The little right rock over there, see? Gosh almighty, that is good!
50 years ago this week, Shane burst onto the silver screen. Starring Alan Ladd in the title role, it's the story of a reluctant gunslinger who briefly flirts with the idea of settling down. In the process, he falls in love for real, but it's a forbidden passion, revealed only through furtive glances and a few subtle lines of dialogue. Shane also finds himself right in the middle of one of the classic conflicts of the West, the cattlemen versus the farmers. He becomes hero to a little boy, and finally, he rides away into the sunset without ever looking back. Steve Daly is a senior writer at Entertainment Weekly. He joins us now from New York. Steve, this movie was one of Paramount's most successful films up to that date, and it has endured. What is it about Shane?
There were a lot of things about it that were unusual at the time. The Jack Palance character, this gunslinger that Alan Ladd's title character goes up against, essentially was a psychotic. There are few Western movies or movies of any kind where a villain is so completely terrifying and absolute, and you are certain that he needs to die. And yet at the same time, the movie treats murder as a truly repulsive moral act. That was unusual at the time, and it's still unusual. I think that's one of the main reasons it's compelling. Another thing that keeps it fresh is that it's a Western story that involves adult perspective but is seen largely through the eyes of a young child. And the way that many of the key scenes in the film are seen from this kid's perspective, including camera angles that literally are down low to the ground and the way you identify with him, very unusual and extremely well done.
I was surprised to learn that Woody Allen apparently thinks this is one of the greatest American films ever made.
He does. He ranks it right up there with Orson Welles' best and with Hitchcock's best. And there are a lot of tricks that involve the audience in the action, including he's constantly cutting away to other secondary characters witnessing what's going on, or at the very moment that you really want to see what's going on in a domestic argument or a fight, it's the very moment George Stevens, the director, will cut away or stay on an image that he's already been on. And that sense of you having to fill in what's going on makes the audience identify intensely with scene after scene in the movie.
Well, of course, and that's what goes on in this sort of quasi-love affair between Shane and this farmer's wife. You have to fill it all in. It's all in glances and all in unstated moments.
In the annals of Westerns, the only thing I can think of to compare it to is The Searchers, which John Ford directed about 3 years later, in which John Wayne's character is clearly in love with a woman who is married to someone else. It's never addressed in the dialogue, but you figure it out from the body language, from the way she looks at the Wayne character. And I don't know whether John Ford was influenced by Shane. I can't imagine he didn't see it. And I think it probably had some kind of influence on him.
Well, was Shane a different kind of Western than any other Westerns that had come before it?
Absolutely. What it was extremely different from was the television Westerns that had become really popular in the early 1950s. And one of the things that the writer-director George Stevens was interested in doing with Shane was trying to countermand what he saw as a really destructive popular image on television, that gunplay was, you know, completely bloodless and a sport. And part of what Stevens hoped this movie would do was to show people that gunfighting is incredibly violent and dangerous and has enormous consequences if even one person gets hit. And the movie did a beautiful job of that.
Well, and there's one scene in particular, I think, that goes to that point, and that is when the Jack Palance character shoots one of the homesteaders who comes into town and kind of challenges him.
Stevens does amazing things with the staging of this scene that were certainly must have been unusual to audiences then and still are. For one thing, you know, the classic Western situation where two people draw and whoever's faster shoots the other. Well, the two characters draw and the Polanski character wins. He then waits a long time in terms of screen time, clearly having won this confrontation, and then shoots the man anyway, which really makes the murder really morally repugnant in a way that's very hard to do in a movie.
You know, there's one other thing I have to mention. This film, like a number of other really memorable films or films that are well-loved, it has a last moment that's hard to forget.
Absolutely, with Brandon DeWilde's character begging and pleading for the gunslinger of the title to stay and to come back, and really kind of elevates the character into a realm where it functions both allegorically and realistically at the same time. You know, it's almost as if he's an angel, you know, someone who's materialized out of nowhere and then literally sort of departs into the mists of purgatory.
Steve Daly is a senior writer for Entertainment Weekly. Thanks so much, Steve.
You're more than welcome.